The point is that there's some games you don't get to play unless you're all in. So I think you might as well play the most magnificent game you can.
Snap to A-Rod, looking downfield, being flushed. Rolling left, winds up, rainbows it high and deep. It is caught for a touchdown! Yes! A miracle!
Yes! Jeff, can you believe it?
Unbelievable!
Believe it!
You walk up there and say, no play, everybody. Don't jump. There's no play. Just look at the body language.
Another one gets the bag. Finally, Jerry Jones wisens up and gets himself a lamb, a big lamb, and drops the bag. What's up, everyone? Thank you for joining us. So welcome to All In Fantasy Football. I'm your host, Matt Dennis. You can follow him at Fantasy Matt, EFN. As always, with my co-host, Pat Wendelken. You can follow him at CityStars136. And Pat, we've got a very special guest for everyone at All In Nation, man. Matty Kiwoom is joining us. You can follow Matty at Matty, MattyKiwoom. Matty, brother, what is up, man? It's a pleasure to have you.
Guys, it's awesome to be on the show. It's awesome to talk to you guys again. You know, we got to hang out in Canton. Canton was obviously the best. It was a ridiculous week over at the shit school. But it feels good to get together and link up now. It's like that calm right before the storm, right? We're all getting excited. We're all getting ready for the biggest draft weekend of the damn year. And a week from this Thursday, we'll have actual football to rant and rave about. So, I mean, it's a great time of year.
10 days and counting, man. 10 days and counting. Yeah, preseason week three is out the window. And, and on to fantasy drafts, which will start this week, as you said, Matty. And also on to, you know, the real football, which will be in 10 days and counting. Pat, how are you, brother? Didn't introduce you necessarily.
No, it's good, man. We got a special guest, bro. I'll take the back seat today. It's cool, man. We got a mini living legend right in front of us. So, you know, I got to, you know, give the respect where it's due.
Hell yeah. South Hammond brother
crazy,
bars. South Hammond brother bars, man. So, again, it is a pleasure, dude. So, welcome, Pat. Welcome to Matt. Pat and Matt, welcome, Matty. This is going to be so confusing for anybody listening.
Yeah, Matt, Pat, and Matty.
Yeah,
Matt and Pat.
And also,
Pat
I know
and
we're
Patty,
not.
Baby.
Yeah, Patty. And of course, we're not live streaming and video. But if you could see, the team hats are sandwiching Pat in the middle, so he is definitely being squished out of the equation. So, Matt's rule. That's all I got to say. And Pat's take secondary seat. So
that's it, bro.
We love you, Pat. Dude. I love you, man. You know that. Come on. Pat takes the secondary seat, my brother. So why don't you take us through the news? There's a couple of big nuggets, man. And then after that, today's episode, man, as we talked about both Pat and Matt and Matty and myself and Patty and whoever the hell else is on this episode, as we talked about, we are basically going to be doing a mock draft. So we've got draft season is upon us for redraft. If you've redrafted earlier, you might have got a steal for a particular player who Pat will talk about here in a second. If you waited, this is why you wait. You wait so you can find out contracts and stuff like that. Hopefully it will solidify before you draft, injuries and such. So this will be a massive week for redraft leagues. So we'll do a mock draft, the three of us. So until then, let's have Pat, why don't you check us through the news as usual, man.
Yeah, man. So I like my headline. Jerry had a little lamb because he did officially today.
I did steal that.
So, yeah, man. CD got the bag, bro. 136, 4 years. Whew. Highest paid non-QB, 38 in signing bonus, $100 million guaranteed, bro. Cannot beat that. Been waiting for this for how long now? needed this one.
Well, we talked about it, you know, and Matty, I want to get your opinion here in a second, obviously how that changes, you know, strategies within redraft and everything, but we talked about it, I think it was on our last episode, you know, when we were talking about, you know, a couple of people were waiting, Chase is still waiting, he's the last one kind of just sitting there waiting to figure out what's going to go on with him, and you'll talk about him, there's a little bit of an update with him and, you know, camp and everything, so, but in the meantime, like we had said, hey, you know, this is going to be the time frame, you know, last week of preseason. They've got a week before they go into the regular season, which is new, to see if anything happens. So, and finally, Jerry Jones dips into his payroll and whips out a wad. So that's kind of crazy. So, Matty, Have you done any, first of all, have you done any drafts prior to this news? Redrafts, that is, not fantasy or anything of that nature, but just redrafts.
No, no redrafts. The last redraft draft that I did was actually with you guys in Canton.
Okay.
When we did the draft night out. That was the last one. And we're talking about drafting early, getting a discount. I did get CeeDee Lamb at pick 8.
I traded him.
I did trade him.
You did trade him.
Yeah, I did get him at a good discount. Of course, there's a slight bit of buyer's remorse or seller's remorse, I guess you could say, because now part of trading him away was the worry that he may not sign. Now that he's signed, he's ready to rock and roll. You can rest assured when your redraft kicks off this weekend, you got, you know, you top two pick and you're deciding between CMC and CeeDee Lamb. That Lamb pick, you got a lot of confidence in that now. So it's good for all of us. Exactly like you said, you wait. This is why you wait for redraft, especially all you home. Don't be hardos with your home leagues, your casual leagues, your most fun leagues. Don't be hardos. Wait till the end. Let it all play out, because the last thing you need is the guy in your league that's kind of on the fritz. You know, he's a little on thin ice, whether he gets really into it or if he kind of starts fading, to all of a sudden have this bogus pick in the first round, and all of a sudden you go from a 12-team league to an 11-team league before the season even kicks off. So you wait. Smart to wait.
Yeah, totally agree. Pat, what do you think? How does this change? Like, where does this put – you know, we're going to do a mock draft here in a minute. I think you've got one or two, maybe last pieces of news before we go in the mock draft. But where do you then put in a redraft, in a typical redraft, where does this put CeeDee Lamb back?
He's back in the top four spot. You ain't getting past. You're not going to see a number eight special like Maddie got in that draft. That's for sure. That's past. That's done.
No.
So you're, I mean, not going to get
eight
the bonus.
Is a steal. It is.
Eight was beyond a steal. It was like robbery. So that's done. He's back up top. You know, it means he solidified that. Jamar, like, I'll go right into it. Jamar's next to get paid. He went to practice on Sunday.
Yep.
So that was the other news. He's back. He's back, and he's going to keep running. The only thing that they were saying also too about CeeDee Lamb today was that they're going to introduce him back into slowly. They got to get him back into like game speed, because you paid him, no rush. Get him back, warm him right into it, and then get him right out there. That's it. Like, there's no, you paid him, you want to, you know, save and protect your asset now. Basically, they were saying today.
And that's kind of what I was going to say. Either of you, and I'll kind of just leave it up for a toss-up, are either of you worried? Obviously, he's a professional, CeeDee Lamb is. He's going to be training off the side. But game speed, NFL speed, being on the field is much different than training with their buddies, training on the side, whatever that may look like. He hadn't showed up to any obviously, camps. This is CeeDee Lamb I'm referring to. Is there any concerns about, A, his ramp-up speed, B, him injury protect? Again, you don't want to wish this on anything, but it is a possibility. If you haven't really been going full speed, you know, during all the 6 weeks of training camp and whatnot in preseason. So I'll toss it to Maddie first, guest first. So anything on your level where you're kind of like concerned, or is it just like wheels up?
It's wheels up for me. Is that the concern would have come if this was back in, call it 2015, 16, when these guys actually did shit during training camp.
Preseason,
now, what did he truly miss? Two series? A quarter?
Yeah.
Four, you know what I mean?
If
like,
even
what did
that,
DJ Moore
I mean,
play? DJ Moore played the first two games, and he played a total of, what, four drives?
Yeah.
You know, had four
and
targets.
And Dak hasn't done
it.
Dak hasn't done anything, too. I mean, so it's like, there's that.
Right.
So,
And he's playing, you know, he was probably practicing down in Texas. You know, even if you play with high school kids, you're still playing with the cream of the crop of high school, because, of course, it's not the NFL. It's apples, not apples to apples.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's, what, 25 years old? Like, listen, I'm 36. Hey, you need to warm up when you're 36. But when I was 25,
get off the couch and you fucking go, man. Let's go.
Dude, you can polish off 22 Coors Lights on a Friday, play some fall ball baseball on a Saturday morning, baby.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Pat, how do you feel? Same?
Yeah,
different?
Same thing, man. I think it'll be fine. You know, just, you know, getting the reps, just like, is really, like you said, it's not really preseason. It's just the practicing with your boys, just getting the flow back. That's really what this comes down for. The same thing with Jamar Chase. That's why he's like, yo, I got to get in there. Whether I get paid or not in good faith, we'll just keep rolling and we'll just keep going. Because let's be honest, bro, time is short with certain people and their team. So you got to rock with what you have.
All right. All right, man. Any other news, Pat, before we jump
I'll take it short. It looks like Drake May is going to be the starter in New England from what I was told and what I saw. So that's pretty, I guess, impressive. You know, I mean, you know, they had an injury over there I saw. So it looks like he's getting the nod, I believe. And then the only other thing I could tell you that's kind of short and sweet is the Jerome Ford, baby. If you were patient and you took that man, and you know, Mr. You know, Nick Chubb is always an injury prone gentleman. Well, guess what? It paid off, bro, because Ford has him at least for 4 weeks straight, and he may not let it go back. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. I saw something right before he came on, and we didn't necessarily talk about this. I have my opinion on it, but I just want to throw it out there. Apparently, Dalvin Cook was flying into Dallas today to meet with the Dallas Cowboys. So he's old. Apparently, Dallas Cowboys just loves these old running backs. You know, they want to cycle between Zeke and Cook. Doesn't mean anything.
No.
Maddie.
No, we saw him play. He was.
I don't think it means shit either. I don't think it means shit either. I just want to clarify that. You know, I'm asking the question because it is news. I did see it pop up. Dalvin, I don't think is relevant, but I just wanted to, you know, make sure we're all on the same page. So
yeah,
don't pay attention if you see anything, any Dalvin Cook shares. Obviously, Dwobbles is still going to be, which I always fuck up his last name, is always, in our opinion, is going to be the most valuable back in Dallas. Zeke, we'll see what he even has left in the tank. So do you feel differently, Maddie?
Zeke was winded in his practices. He looked absolutely horrendous, bro. He was ready to go like to the bar, a martini bar after that. He had no shot in hell, dude.
He looked like the uncle saying, like, look at this button hook. Look at this go route after one round. Listen, he was effective for fantasy for New England last year, but that came on like
yeah, but know, that was in stints though. That was also in stints. It wasn't like in a long period of time. It was after
Stevenson had done. Yeah, and it was a lot of catches, 53 catches I think he had.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, if Dallas decides to use him like crazy, he'll have value. But you look at the analytics, you look at the efficiency metrics. Dowdle was a far superior running back to Ezekiel Elliott last year, and if you want to bring in Dalvin Cook into that equation. I mean, is he better than Royce Freeman?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, same.
Royce Freeman's pretty shit too, but
exactly.
But it's like, damn, how lazy do you want to be, Jerry? Like, get out there. Khalil Herbert, a sixth?
Well, dude, that's what I was going to say.
Miles Sanders, if you really want running backs everywhere.
The Bears are itching to trade Khalil Herbert, to be honest with you. Like, they're just waiting. That's why they've been showcasing him, I think, the whole entire preseason, is because they're waiting for somebody to come to them and just offer them a third or fourth round pick for him. I mean, even a fifth round pick, they'll probably trade him in a heartbeat just to get something back for him. So otherwise he walks. So I totally agree. But hell, Jerry just paid somebody, so he might not have enough money left in the bank to like take care of that. He may be worried about where he's gonna
$10 billion franchise. Sure. Yeah.
The only other thing I was going to say, that they were, real quick, the Broncos are expected to move wide receiver Tim Patrick, so they're looking for trades also. So that, I saw that. I forgot to, you know, kind of throw that out there.
That's important
relative too. News for you guys to keep an eye out. So if someone needs that wide receiver for a pick or two, might see it move sooner than later.
Yeah, Tim Patrick sure, because coming out of, honestly, in a draft that we're doing too, it's like Tim Patrick was one of the ones that it looked like in the preseason he was getting a lot of attention. So it was somebody that I targeted late, and turns out that, like, apparently they don't like him in Denver. So they're looking to ship him out. So I guess it means nothing, but whatever, it is what it is. All right, let's get back to the redraft mock draft. So our first one, this is episode 4 for us, for All In. Again, love having Maddie on, asked him on just to kind of do a mock draft. So it's the three of us. We let the guest, of course, pick his spot. He picked the 103. I picked the middle. Why not? Split the difference. I did the 106. And then we've got Pat doing the 111 on the back end. So we're kind of spaced out a little bit, kind of to set up the format. It's full PPR. We're doing one quarterback. It's like a typical redraft. So it's going to be one quarterback, two running back. We did three wide receivers. We also did one tight end and two flex, and then did a kicker and a defense. So kind of, again, want to set it up. It is redraft, not dynasty or anything of that nature. That's why the kicker and the defense is in there. So are you guys ready to kick it off?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Sir. All right. Let's hit it. We'll take it through play by play for the first few rounds. And then as each person comes up to pick, you know, if you could kind of, we'll talk a little bit about our pick, what our thinking is. Maddie, since we've never had you on, I'd love to kind of get your theory on redraft. You know, how do you redraft? What positions do you usually target early, often? Do you usually wait on certain positions? Kind of talk us through that as you're going through your picks throughout the mock draft. Love to kind of get a little bit of insight for that. And we'll, since not all in, we haven't really done a mock draft here, we'll also talk through Pat and my own's kind of theory of how we draft and we do redrafts, what we target, why, and positional strengths and what we look for when and what we fade. You know, there's definitely positions that you have to fade. You can't hit all positions and be strong in every aspect when you're drafting. So I want to make sure we're hitting that as well. So let's good. Let's take us through your theory.
You guys have me on obviously a great time. This is right before the big draft. If you head over to South Harmon FF2 after and check out some of my solo video this week's The Perfect Draft Strategy. So you get a little preview here on the All In, which is, you know, this is what you come to the big time for, to drop big time nuggets. That's how you get people to come to your stuff. But I would say my plan A, because you always have to adjust based on what value falls. My plan A is I'm a hero RB, anchor RB, whatever you call it. I'm a running back in the first two or three rounds, lock my number one in, and then I won't pepper in. It depends on, for me, if you could start three or four wide receivers. This is a big distinction in redraft. So if you have your draft this weekend, yeah, make sure you know this for a fact and you run some mocks with that in mind, because to me, it's the difference of taking your RB2 in round six or taking your RB2 in round nine. Yeah. And that is a massive difference when you're talking about redraft builds, because when you have these shallow lineups, quarterbacks matter a hell of a lot more. You know, we play in a lot of superflex and dynasty, which obviously inflates the value of quarterbacks. But in redraft, you need those top performers because you don't start a ton of guys. You don't get a lot of edges at other positions. So I will go early quarterback. I try to stay away from like the fourth-ish round with the top guys like Allen and whatnot, but right now, Kyler Murray is a great value too if you do wait. So I would say that I'm a primary. I attacked receivers. I'm not afraid to go tight end early if it's one of the guys that I like this year. I just kind of follow the value, because you win your league by making sure that you're not buying into runs and getting the shit end of the stick when the runs happen.
Yeah, and I think Matty hit on a couple of massive topics of the conversations that we talk about on Elite Fantasy Nation, our other podcast that Pat and I do. First and foremost, you got to look at the format. So not only positional format, as far as how many starting positions do you have? Like I said, in this one, we've got one QB, so it's not a super flex. It is a one QB. Then you've got two running backs, three wide receivers, and two flex. So the more positions that you have to fill or set in every week, the less valuable a single quarterback becomes. So the more you can fade it. Sure. So if you're starting 12, that's much different than starting 9. So then the quarterback ratio 1-9 versus 1-12 means that the quarterback holds less value the more other positional players that you put in there. So that's first and foremost. Second, you know, is looking at how scoring is done. Is it a full PPR? Is it, you know, passing touchdown? Is it 4 points? Is it 6 points? How much do you get for interceptions? Any other miscellaneous scoring will also affect how you traditionally draft as well. And we'll kind of talk through that as we go. And then Pat, you know, since we've never done a mock draft here as well, let's talk about really quickly your theory of how you draft and what you look at as far as like Matty said, he does more wide receiver heavy. Does it depend on your position in the draft, or do you typically have a specific formula that you like to follow when you do redraft leagues?
Honestly, depending on the positions, big, I love being the anchor. I love the back of the pack. I've always been like a, you know, 8 through 12 is usually where I love. I mean, everything's usually random anyway. Like in my draft, I'm the commissioner of my league now for 13 years. I give everyone a random wheel. Everyone knows their draft spot over a month in advance, so everyone has plenty of time to do your research. You don't trade your spot. You deal with it. You know, that's it. So like this year I have the 9 spot. I love it. And even in certain redrafts, like when we were in Canton, I kind of took best available. Sometimes you got to go with the value, because if it's right there, you know, I'm not going to go reaching. You can't reach for everything. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, yeah, you know, you might get that guy. You might not. But you know what? There's someone that's got solid value and it may not be exactly on your target or your radar. It's okay to take it. You know what I mean? You don't have to go out of your way, because you could have been like, wow, you know, I had an opportunity for that guy. I reached for this one and it kind of was like, eh. But yeah, man, I like best, you know, honestly, best value. I look at the team quarterback. I like wide receivers. I tend to, you know, lean towards picking them more than anything in my first couple rounds.
Awesome. All right. Well, without further ado, man, let's kick this shit off, dude. Mock draft. Let's hit the start button. So we're on Sleeper. Anybody that's doing on Sleeper, so very easy. The three of us are just in there, like I said, to kind of regurgitate it. Matt is at the 103. I'm at the 106 and Pat is at the 111. Sorry. So first McCaffrey, CMC went 101, which you're going to see typically in every draft now. Tyreek Hill surprisingly went 102. And then Maddie's up at the 103. So talk us through your thoughts, Maddie, and kind of like what you're leaning, which I, after the news today, I'd be willing to be willing to bet on where I feel like you're going to go, but take it away.
This is an audio platform, so you can't see this, but if it was video, I'm doing the first down under the nose because it's CeeDee Lamb's the pick for me.
No-brainer. For me. That's a no-brainer, yeah.
Yeah, with these early picks, I'm going receiver. And it's not that I don't like the Bijans and the Breeses, but I love the running backs in round two and sometimes mm-hmm. the ones that fall to round three that I just would rather start with a Lamb, Jefferson, Chase as opposed to Bijan and Davante Adams, Bijan and Mike Evans. Like, give me Lamb and I'm not going to table talk here. We'll see who's there in the second, but I like the second round value for backs.
100%. I totally agree, and I think with Lamb there, it's like a no-brainer. You can't walk away from that. So after Maddie took CeeDee Lamb, you have Justin Jefferson one at the 104. 105 is Bijan, as you just mentioned a second ago. So I am up at the 106. I have my choice between, and again, I'm typically wide receiver heavy. I draft very much like Maddie, unless you're at the very back end and the wide receivers aren't as strong and the running backs are much stronger, then I do go positional value as what Pat said earlier. But I'm staring right now at Amon-Ra St. Brown or Ja'Marr Chase. You could argue either one. I personally am just going to go Amon-Ra St. Brown. Probably going to be shunned by anybody listening to this, but with Chase and everything too, he hasn't signed yet. So I just want to go with the known. Nothing's really changed in their offense. You can say the same thing about Cincinnati. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is an amazing wide receiver. I think he's pretty much on the same tier with Chase. So I'm going to go Amon-Ra St. Brown. So what do you guys think about that pick? Would you have gone differently? Would you guys have picked Chase over St. Brown, or kind of what's your thoughts? Pat, I know where you'd go.
Well, don't ask. Are you going to ask
me? You got the jersey. This is the audio only. So behind Pat's head, his Cincinnati Bengals.
There's two Ja'Marr Chase jerseys. Oh, two Ja'Marr Chase jerseys. Well, I'm going to take Chase, clearly. If not, I'd be going to hell. But, yeah, I mean, it can't go wrong with either one, dude. They're both absolutely solid. Amon-Ra is an absolute stud. So you can't go wrong. You can flip a coin and then just roll with it. That's all.
What about you, Maddie?
I'm with Pat in that you can kind of pick your poison. The case I will make for Amon-Ra St. Brown is the fact that I think he plays 11 indoor games throughout the fantasy season, yep. or all but a handful. So you just don't have to worry about that AFC North battle in the fantasy playoffs when it's frigid as hell out there. They're in Pittsburgh or Cleveland, and it's 9,000 below zero. That gets mitigated with Amon-Ra, but Amon-Ra is very good. Chase is breaking the game type talent. So the more risk averse may want to go Amon-Ra.
That's fine.
Yeah, and I usually mix it up too. I mean, Chase probably is what most people would take. I'm going to pause the draft real quick because Pat's going to be timed out here in a second. So Chase is probably what everybody would take. I know Chase is about to sign or looks like they're about to work something out, but it is a little bit more of a safer pick. So that's kind of why I went Amon-Ra St. Brown. So after that, 107 is Chase right after that. Then you've got Breece Hall at the 108. At the 109, you've got A.J. Brown. Saquon Barkley at the 110. And then you've got Pat, who's up at the 111, and I will restart.
So this isn't my favorite guy because of the quarterback, but I'm taking Garrett Wilson, dude. He is a monster. And if Aaron Rodgers is what he is and wants to be on that lineup, like, that's the man. Like, he should have a phenomenal year. Like, let's see what they can really do. Hopefully he makes it past two plays or three plays this year and see what it would be.
So you took him over. Let's just look at who else is on the board. So from a wide receiver perspective, you took him over Marvin Harrison Jr. and Puka Nacua.
Yes.
Between the three of those, was there a reason, like you said, you know, Garrett Wilson, obviously you've got the Hall of Fame quarterback. Is there a reason what kind of leans you that way? Is it Puka Nacua's injury or Marvin Harrison being a rookie in an offense that who knows what he's going to become?
Yeah, like, so for me, I guess, like you said, like Puka, I am going to question that a little bit. Like, it's, you know, I think it'll be fine, but, you know, he had a phenomenal year. Can he double up and do it again? You know, there's always, you know, you roll the dice, see what you get. Not taking Devontae Adams. I don't like the quarterback situation whatsoever down in you know, Vegas, almost at Oakland. And then, you know, like I said, Marvin Harris is rookie. I'm not saying he's bad or not, but, you know, I'm not the biggest Kyler Murray fan, to be very honest with you. So we'll see how it is. I'm not really an Arizona Cardinal fan, so I kind of like, eh. So in saying all this and going forward, I'm going to take Kyren Williams, and I'm going to take my stud running back now on that in there with their value.
So after the first pick for Garrett Wilson, after that 112 and Jonathan Taylor, then Jahmyr Gibbs, so back-to-back running backs for the turn. Then you've got Kyren Williams, as Pat just said, it was a second pick at the 2-2, followed by Puka Nacua, Travis Etienne, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Devontae Adams, and then I am back up at the 207. Yep. So at the 207, this is where it gets a little, not so great looking. So I'm looking, similarly, I'm looking at kind of running back to see who could be an anchor running back. I feel like if I wait to the 306, I'm probably not going to have a true anchor running back. So I've got Derrick Henry staring him in the face. I want to take him, but it's just the issue with the injury and age and just like the usage that they're going to give him. We talk about every year, but I'll take the risk of Derrick Henry. I went risk adverse, I guess you could say, with Chase without taking Chase and Amon-Ra St. Brown, but Derrick Henry, I think, could be a monster in that offense. Hopefully, they utilize him the right way, and he doesn't age out. And this is not the year that everybody says, like the past 3 years, that he was going to age out and finally come back down to earth. And hopefully, he still is a monster. So I'll take Derrick Henry at the 207, followed by Travis Kelce at the 208, then Chris Olave at the 209, and then it goes back to Matty Kuhn at the 212. So what is your thinking here, man? You've got, sorry, your first pick was CeeDee Lamb, so kind of just mind on that.
I was hoping Kelce fell, and a big lesson that I would love everyone here checking us out tonight to take is you don't have to worry about age in seasonal. Don't get too hung up on the hot young player because, you know, the all offseason we drool over the Sam Laportas and we fantasize about the guy who's going to take the leap when – push comes to shove. If you just take the guy who's done it on a consistent basis and proved it, why not take that guy? I was hoping Kelce fell.
You can say the same thing about Derrick Henry on that same theory too, Maddie.
I would take out if Henry was there, he'd be my anchor RB. He has 20 touchdown upside.
Yeah,
but here I'm going to risk it and I'm going to go with the upside play because there are certain moments in your seasonal drafts where. You kind of have to put your foot in the ground and decide, am I going safe? Am I going ceiling? Am I going floor? Because if you string them together is when you could build a competent team. When you kind of go all over the place, you don't have a plan. So went Lamb. Okay, that's floor and upside. I'm going to go upside again and go Drake London. Drake London now hitting into year three, has the quarterback upgrade in terms of passing downfield, has the backup quarterback in Michael Penix. If something happened to Kirk, Michael Penix can spin it. This is the year where we see the 28% target share as a rookie and the 20% target share actualize into fantasy production. Double-digit touchdowns is on the board. 125 targets with this quarterback. He should catch, he should have a pretty good reception catch percentage this year. So, you know, you take the shot on the upside here. You take the shot on the upside, but seeing Isaiah Pacheco come off the board in round two is a dagger in the old quota zone because that was going to be my anchor in round three. I gambled. I lost. And now do I go anchor RB or do I go full send and go zero RB? Quick plug, though, if you guys don't mind. Over at SouthHarmonF.com. The 1QB and Superflex shit sheets are out. There are draft guides. There are ways to guide you through your selections. And if I'm using the guide to right now, if I'm using it correctly, I'm taking Malik Nabers. Ooh. I'm taking Malik Nabers here because I have him ranked so high. But sometimes you put these things to the test and you kind of find out what you're made of. And I think I am going to say – Let the shit sheets ride, baby. Upside for days. Drake London, Malik Nabers going upside.
Love it. Love it. Stick to your guns, man. So to wrap up some of those picks. So after the first pick that Maddie had at 210, 211 was our first quarterback at Josh Allen. So I think you'll probably see that in most redraft leagues. One quarterback at least going in the second round. So I think that's pretty accurate here. Then, like you mentioned, Isaiah Pacheco and Devon Achane went back to back on the turn. The second to third round turn. So team one has three running backs back to back to back. So Christian McCaffrey, Isaiah Pacheco, and Devon Achane. So massive running back room. And one of those could be his flex, theoretically. So that's great. Nico Collins then went to 3-2. As Maddie had alluded to, he took Malik Nabers as his third wide receiver off the board, followed by Sammy Laporta, Brandon Ayuk, and I am up now. So I currently have Amon-Ra St. Brown and Derrick Henry. I'm going to just kind of look at, you know, best available at this point. There's, so just to kind of give everybody who's listening, Josh Jacobs pops up, Mike Evans, Patrick Mahomes would be the second quarterback if I wanted to go that route. Stephon Diggs, Deebo Samuel. Then obviously you've got Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson. From wide receiver perspective, Mike Evans, Stephon Diggs, Deebo are the top three. Jalen Waddle, who's obviously a lot of people's perspective. I want to ask you, Maddie, about Jalen Waddle here in a second. I'm going to take good old reliable. We talked about age, not really matter. I'm actually going to take Stephon Diggs, man. In Houston, I was going to initially say Mike Evans. In Houston, I do like Stephon Diggs. I think he'll be the number one in that offense. Obviously, CJ Stroud throwing the ball. I think that he's got a great talent. CJ Stroud, that is, and with Diggs there. Hopefully he doesn't get in too much trouble in the first season as far as like whining too much about his playing time and usage, and he can just ball out and score a shit ton of touchdowns. So yeah, after that, Josh Jacobs, Patrick Mahomes, second quarterback off the board, Cooper Kupp, then Deebo Samuel goes. Pat is at the 311, but I did want to ask really quickly, Maddie, about your perspective on Jalen Waddle. What do you think? Because obviously last year is not a good year for him. But what do you think about his future, at least this season in Miami?
I think he's accurately ranked. He's going off the board right around, you know, wide receiver 20. And this is a guy that now 3 years in has been right around a wide receiver 20 on a points per game basis, over 1,000 yards all three seasons last year. Of course, he only played 14 games. That was really the difference between, you know, his freshman and his sophomore year as opposed to last year. He got paid. You know, Tua is going to be around. So will Tyreek for the next couple. So looking like he's accurately ranked, and we should expect another, you know, call it 110, 120 targets, hover around 85 receptions, be a, you know, 1,000 to 1,100. The touchdowns, you know, with this offense, he could have 10 if it breaks away a couple. So I think he's accurately ranked. I think he has that top, you know, 12, 15 wide receiver on a points per game basis. You're getting him at wide receiver 20. Feels accurate. There's a lot of good wide receivers in this range. So, you know, going Diggs or going Ayuk over him, again, there's a path a lot of these players in this range really performing.
Yeah, they're probably all in the same tier. You know, you could probably argue one over another depending on situation.
Yeah.
And obviously there's uncertainty with Diggs about new offense. Is he going to get the lion's share? There's obviously other talent that's in that offense in the wide receiver room. So that's all obviously kind of a risk as well. So, Pat, you were up. Sorry to kind of into your spotlight there. So talk us through what you're thinking.
I'm not in love with what I have. I'm not a Jalen Waddle fan this year. I am going to stay away. I'm the opposite. I don't feel it. I like this guy, though, who could be, I think, I'm going to take my quarterback now. I'm going to take Jalen Hurts, and I have not done that. That's my first time actually doing that.
I was going to say, dude, that's unusual.
But, dude, it's just solid, man. Like, schedule isn't that hard. I was looking at it. It's nothing out of this, you know, the world. I mean, just alone with the Giants and the Redskins, I mean, Commanders, you know, it's like easy wins. You got to look at, like, I play with some of the schedules, and I look at it, and I'm like, he has a pretty solid like year ahead of him. And I love what he has, you know, so I he's solid, tush, push and all, run it. And then this one, I'm going to go, the next one was Lamar was off the board, then Jalen Waddle, and I'm back on the board again. Oh man, there's a lot here. I have a big discrepancy of what I like. I love Moore. I'm getting, I want some share in Caleb's play this year for sure. That's your homie over there, and you guys love Moore in general. Mike Evans is DJ, great too. Yeah. Like I said, old reliable, I call him. I like Pittman in this spot. Oh man, I don't know. So I'm gonna go Moore. I'm going with it. I want to see
DJ the young
man take that, you know, the number one for him. Let's go.
I love it. DJ Moore followed by Mike Evans at the 403. At the 404 is DK Metcalf. Mixon goes, your boy or old boy, ex Cincinnati Bengal, Joe Mixon goes at the 405. And then Mark Andrews, who's a third tight end, goes off the board at 406. I am up. I'm going to do something a little bit different too, because we're just going to have fun. And this is the whole point of Mock Drafts. Let's just be honest, man. The whole point of Mock Drafts is to try something different. Try from the sixth spot, try different theories, you know, see how that can affect your overall build at the end. And then you determine if you like it or not. Now, honestly, like, you know, there's one thing to reading people's rankings. Rankings don't show you after you draft them what your team will look like, because, you know, it changes depending on each draft. So I was like kind of just mixing it up. Normally I don't take a quarterback this early, but since I do have Diggs, and since I just touted CJ Stroud earlier, I feel like I've got to represent by doing the stack in Houston and get CJ Stroud and Stephon Diggs stack. So that will be my one, followed by Devontae Smith and then Rashad White. And that goes back to Maddie. So jump in at any point, Maddie, if you want to talk about either of our picks, or if you just kind of want to talk through your pick, it's your show, man. Take away the mic.
I like what Pat's doing here. I think this is the one of those builds that the industry, if you want to call it, and I'm using quotes here, would go, you're blah, 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 blah. But you need that quarterback to win. You need that good running back to win. And I'm now in the fourth round. I wish I would have gone Pacheco over London to get my anchor, because here in round four, I'm still looking at pass catchers over the running backs, because now Rashad White is off the board. Rashad White was my last of the running backs
here that you felt comfortable.
Yes, exactly. But again, we talked about it at the beginning of the show, the importance of understanding the format. I can still start two more motherfucking receivers. Wide receivers, I don't have to tear away from going receiver. And somebody that, you know, our guy Mike McNutted, Iowa Mike, the tear down king, kind of.
Sal Hammond all day.
We talked at the expo, and he kind of brought me around on this player more than I thought I was. So I'm going to go with my fourth wide receiver. I'm going to take Michael Pittman here in the fourth round. I think that's really great value. But then this cockamamie pick in the first slot is four running backs, and now he's just snagging all the running backs. I can never get on the way back.
He's like your arch enemy. He's like, all right, you take my receivers? Really, I'm taking like, you the running backs.
CPU dude. Team 1 is kicking Maddie's ass right now. Maddie wants to talk to him.
This is why Elon Musk warned us about AI.
Yeah.
It's because they're going to go ahead and snake you every which way to Sunday. I'm up again, but, you know, for the sake of mock drafts, this is not a player that I've drafted a lot of. This is a player that I've kind of, I don't want to say have been fading, but relative to the ADP, I have been going in other directions. But we're talking about throwing new things in the fire and trying to see what it looks like. And my man Cody, he was boots on the ground in Pittsburgh camp where they face off against the Buffalo Bills. And it sounds like the Buffalo Bills offense and Josh Allen is going to go through Dalton Kincaid. So I'm going to take my first Dalton Kincaid thought here and kind of see what the team looks like with Kincaid on it.
Okay. Going tight end over your hero running back. So pivoting as well. And it kind of goes back to what you just said, Maddie. So it's about trying new things. At the end, you could look at it and say, I absolutely hate it, or, you know, I love it. There's a couple things that I probably do differently too at this point. But you got to kind of pivot. Sometimes, you know, we've also talked about this too in our other podcast, Elite Fantasy, is that sometimes whenever it's zigging, you got to zag. Like if you're just trying to chase, if you're trying to chase value or positional values that are already low, then you're basically reaching and there's no point to that. Take what people are giving you. If running backs are going off the board and wide receivers are a steal, keep hammering wide receivers. If you got a tight end that you love, you know, hammer a tight end. If you're like, hey, there's a big teardrop from Kincaid to the next tight end. So love it. You got to stick with what you feel like is important or valuable, and then figure out the rest later. I mean, there's a lot of QBs too in this format or in this league nowadays. So you can easily patch together a couple of QBs to make your team worthwhile. So I'm up. So currently my team is Amon-Ra St. Brown, Derrick Henry I got in the second round, Stephon Diggs in the third. Paired him with CJ Stroud. So I'm up with the 506. I'm going to look to see from a perspective of who's high right now and who's kind of valuable in this position. So Kenneth Walker,
kicker.
Aaron Jones, I'm not really a big fan of Aaron Jones personally with the new team in Minnesota. So I'm looking at wide receiver personally. So I've got T. Higgins, George Pickens. Up until I saw the disastrous Pittsburgh quarterback situation, I was kind of all in with George Pickens this season. I thought him being the one in that offense would be really good and valuable. So I'm going to pivot and go T. Higgins as my wide receiver three in Cincinnati. He's always wide receiver two there, and I think he's great value in the fifth round. So T. Higgins is off the board.
And he's off my queue. But that's okay, though. This is what happens. You just, like you said, just pivot on to the next one. So I'm gonna go straight to it. So your next was Kenneth Walker was off the board. Monty, David Montgomery was next. Kittle, and then Pickens was off. So I was going to take T. Higgins if you didn't. That's for sure. But I have this person I
love
want.
Sniping.
I'm
going
to actually – that's all right. It happens. I'm going to disagree with you. I am going to take Aaron Jones. I do not like the quarterback play at all up in Minnesota. So I think there's going to be more of a – I think the run is going to be more reliable this year. I think it's going to be more of a run heavy. I really don't. I'm telling you, like, even Justin Jefferson at four, I wouldn't take. Like, I'm not a fan of anyone in Minnesota whatsoever this year. Could I be wrong? Absolutely. JJ got paid. No good quarterbacks really floating around. I'm like, it's going to be a run. I think it's going to be a real run-heavy offense. So
yeah, but
all in with him.
My only fear about Jones is he was injured. His hamstring was a big issue last year. Injured on and off throughout the season. Came back at the end of the season. Looked like a monster at the last, like, back quarter of the season. But he's getting older. That's my only concern about him is, you know, watching him in Green Bay. It is something close. So I've watched him quite a bit over the past couple of years living here in Wisconsin. And age and injury is the biggest concern that I have with Aaron Jones. But I agree with you with the offense. I think it's going to be run first offense. I think they can be very conservative. It's not going to be a, you know, throw the ball deep kind of deal. So I don't disagree with you at all on that. It's just injury, I guess.
And then I'll pick this, and I'm going to let Maddie go. And next, I'm just going to go heavy. I'm going to go, what? DeAndre Swift, man. Now I'm solid.
Nah, I love that pick. I love that
I love what I just did. Like, I feel super solid with my team. So I got Garrett Wilson, Kyren Williams, Hurts with the tush push, DJ Moore, Aaron Jones, and DeAndre Swift. I mean, I'm super happy with that right now.
That's solid. Solid, man. So can't go wrong there. After that went Anthony Richardson, Joe Burrow, followed by Kyle Pitts, and then James Conner. Matt, you got into this. I almost always call him Jonathan Conner. I don't know why. I just always do. So I almost said it, and then I stopped myself and had to call him James Conner. So before I pick, I want to get both of you guys' perspective on Anthony Richardson. I'll go through you first, Pat. He seemed to have a very off preseason games. His accuracy was not that great. Looked like he was struggling quite a bit in the offense. So any concerns from either of you regarding Anthony Richardson, considering that he's meant to be like the QB5 or QB6, call it between QB5 and probably 8 for most people.
Okay. No, I honestly, man, just let him get back into game time shape. I mean, you know, he'll be fine. I think he's young. Just got to get the bugs out, you know, had to get off your injury, build the confidence back up. I think everything will be fine in that offense. And I'm actually really excited to see how the Colts do with him at the helm. What do you think, Maddie?
I like the player. My hesitancy in getting him on redrafts is the price. Because for me, it's, I see the upside, but if I'm getting
What do you got to pay for it?
Six, right. This is going to kind of go against most people's logic because everyone loves the value of drafting, but I kind of see it's more like, you know, when it's the thought to practice, it always sounds good when you're thinking it through, but sometimes in practice, you need
then
to
Then you got
to
pull the trigger.
Give me Hurts at 311 or Lamar at 312, then taking on so much risk for a 3-round discount.
Yep. That's
agreed with that.
Enough. And we're seeing in this mock that we're running, Burrow goes right after. Burrow doesn't have the ceiling as a Richardson, but with a 6th-round investment, another injury-plagued season from Richardson. And you look at Anthony Richardson, he was hurt in high school. He was hurt at
college.
Florida. He's He's hurt now. He was hurt last year. So it's not, it's obviously something that people can shake. He hasn't yet. And I don't want to use a sixth round pick on him when you look at, you know, Dak Prescott, who was a top five quarterback and wins over replacement last year. And then you have, of course, Konami code guys later. It feels like I love the player. I love the thought of getting him in like Madden. Like if I'm building a team and I could play, like watch him play, it's awesome. But the investment in the sixth round is a little too rich for me.
Well, I agree with that. I would take Burrow over Richardson in that spot also. I would probably take Jordan Love over him also. I mean, there's a lot of people that would choose here. You know, this, you know, AI isn't doing great for Team 10 in my eyes. But I mean, I don't think he's a bad guy, but I wouldn't take him where he is. That's all.
But I don't think I don't think AI is that far off, honestly, from how most people have been projecting Anthony Richardson as far as where he goes. I think it's pretty
accurate. I agree with that.
As far as like the tier that he goes in. So after James Conner, not Jonathan Conner, I picked Rashee Rice is staring me in the face. He was there at the sixth round, so I think that's huge value for somebody who's could be the wide receiver one. There's obviously more talent in that back and the wide receiver core this year. We'll see how it plays out. I actually think that talent with some of the deep balls for Xavier Worthy could actually help out Rashee Rice, who's doing more of the middle play. So right now I've got Amon-Ra St. Brown, Derrick Henry, Stephon Diggs, CJ Stroud, T. Higgins, and Rashee Rice. So I've got four wide receivers, a running back, and a QB. After that goes Ramondre Stevenson, Keenan Allen, and then it goes to Maddie with 50 seconds left because I talk too much. Maddie, you're up.
It's okay. It's going to take me 3 seconds to smash this. The second I saw him available, I knew I was taking him here. Yeah. Najee Harris.
Ooh, there you go.
Saying his praises in Canton. You guys heard it firsthand.
Yes, sir.
Najee is the perfect zero RB build. And now with the soft tissue injury to Jalen Warren, does that clear more runway for an Arthur Smith offense that loves to give the ball to huge running backs? Najee Harris is still huge. He's a guy who's been super healthy, knocking all the wood you can find. But right here, building up, now I have my four wide receivers, a tight end, and a running back. It seems like I'm shooting for the moon here. It's probably going to be smart for me to kind of go with some floor plays over my next handful of picks just to kind of try to make sure that the ship is nice and balanced throughout the redraft season. But here, I don't know. It's a bit open for me with my next pick.
And while you're thinking, we'll skip kind of doing the picks in between our picks. We'll just talk about our team just because of time. We're in the seventh round, so beyond that, anything's going to be kind of wild at this point from a prediction standpoint. So we'll just talk through our own teams, anybody who's listening. That's why you're not going to get who's going off the board.
I'm going to double tap running back and go Tony Pollard. I like what I've seen from Tony Pollard in the preseason. Yeah. Week three, again, goal line work, pass catching work. Seems like he's the true 1A in this backfield. So now I got my two running backs. Again, not worried about longevity and not here for a long time, just here for a good time.
Yeah, play.
Love it. Love it. I'm looking at the running back room because I only have one running back currently. I'm not really liking. There's a couple that I could do. But I'm going to switch over to tight end, see what's available on tight end. So I'm actually going to jump. There's a couple running backs. So for everybody listening, so Raheem Mostert. So there is Zamir White, who looks like the RB1 in Las Vegas. You have Javonte Williams. Those three easily, you could say it could be a great RB2. Wouldn't argue that at all, but there's also running backs that are farther down that I think could be just as valuable that I'll wait for and get better value. So I'm going to jump to the tight end. There's a tight end who during the preseason got a lot of play, not only as a tight end, but also as wide receiver, played in the backfield. I did running back. I think I did a fullback at one point too. So Brock Bowers, Brock Bowers has not been, I think he would have been higher up on my board if he didn't go to Las Vegas. But you can't really beat what they did with him during the preseason. They did a lot of different things with them. They moved him around the offense quite a bit besides just tight end. So I think he's going to be a huge weapon for that offense in Las Vegas. Obviously the quarterback situation is questionable, but I think at the seventh round, I think that's worth a shot because I don't like necessarily the tight ends after that as far as being, you know, somebody reliable. So Brock Bowers off the board. Pat goes to you at the 7-11.
And Matt screws me again, once again. That's back.
You wanted Brock. You were going to go Brock Bowers? Were you really?
Yeah, of course. That was perfect.
Love it, man. I love it.
It's okay though. I think in this spot, there's hopefully get him on the turnaround. I know it's not really what I would normally do, but since it's sitting here, I'm going to take another running back just to buy. He's a starter. Why not, man? Taking White.
So Pat's doing the two wide receiver, four running back build with a quarterback.
Yes, I have. And now he is here. I'm going to get my tight end at David Njoku, which would be complete what I really wanted. And I think he's going to do great this year again.
Yeah, I honestly think David Njoku is going to be really good. At the end of last year, he finished very strong and actually had a couple of monster games. So that was obviously towards the back end of the season, so anything could happen. But yeah, I don't disagree with you at all on that. I'm back up. So my current build is Amon-Ra St. Brown, Derrick Henry, Stephon Diggs, CJ Stroud, T. Higgins, Rashee Rice, and Brock Bowers. I'm going to just check to see what tight ends are available. There's one tight end that's available that I'm actually going to snag, who apparently at the beginning of the season, there's projections that he's going to get dropped or released. He looks like the running back one in that offense. With a rookie, you know, at the helm, it looks like he'll probably get a lot of plays. So Javonte Williams coming off a year of, you know, having the recovery from the ACL. Looks like he's kind of back to his normal or his strength that he had. So I'll take the risk on Javonte as my running back two off the board. Maddie, what do you think?
I like Javonte this year. I didn't think I would, to be quite honest. I didn't think I would. But the way that the path has cleared out, I still like Estime as a late guy in the season that we may end up having value for. So I like him in Dynasty and all that. So, but Javonte in redraft, I mean, getting him in round 8 too, is it crazy to think if he was your RB1, if you just pepper and you get an elite quarterback, elite tight end, four receivers, and you make Javonte your running back one in round 8 in this type of format, I'm warming up to that idea. No question.
Well,
I'm warming
up. And they also released Samaje Perine too earlier today as well. So, which again, you know, not that much, but it goes back to Estime. You know, obviously Estime jumps up another tier as far as where he is in the pecking order with Perine off, you know, kind of the depth chart. So I think that's also something that's worth talking about as we're coming up to draft season. So Maddie, you're up on the clock.
I'm going to take my last flex, and I'm going to take Deontay Johnson. I like him now. Ooh. He's on thin ice, again, coming limping off the field at the end of last week in practice. So, again, I'm just peppering my wide receivers. I'm putting together some floor players to go with all the ceiling guys that I have. I'm stable at running back, and now this turnaround pick, short turnaround. Here's the problem with swing pick, fellas. Sometimes you have to reach because you can't miss out on a guy.
Well, and I'm sacrificing. You got a long gap. You got a long gap to your next pick. So sometimes you got to add that in. You got to be like, yes. Hey, I've got 14, whatever it is, like 14 or 18, 20, whatever it is, until you pick again. And you just can't wait for that guy to come back to you or take the risk. So who is it, man?
And you know, I'm going to leave. I'm not going to say who I'm leaving on the board in case he falls. You both have two picks before it gets back to me. So I'm not going to table talk you. So you take my guy, but I am sacrificing one of my beloved children here to make sure that I get another ceiling player that I can't lose. I've missed out on the tier too deeply. And I'm going to take Jaden Daniels as my QB1 Konami code guy, rookie, high ceiling, super low floor. But the theme of today's mock for me is risk and reward, and I'm going to keep pushing that button.
I love it. Okay. Can't go wrong there, man. So for some reason I don't. Love that. Sleeper's acting really weird. I tried to put a couple of people on my queue, and it was taking like 30 seconds for it to actually load up. So love Sleeper right now. With already mock drafting Maddie, it's like Sleeper's just been super slow and had major glitches over the past like couple of days.
All the drafts going and mock
dude,
drafts,
it's crazy. Yeah, so I'm up, and I'm going to look at another wide receiver. So I currently had my build currently has four wide receivers, two running backs, a tight end, and a quarterback. So I could either go, obviously running back is very narrow for me, but like I said earlier, I usually there's a couple of running backs that I see that are lower down that I'm hoping that people will ignore, and I can get them for the cheap considering what they're going to do for that offense. So I'm looking back at wide receiver. There's two wide receivers that I love this late as a wide receiver five for me. You've got Jackson Smith-Njigba and Christian Watson. I'm going to go, this is more of a play on, it's obviously risk reward. When he's on the field, I think he's amazing. The problem is in the past 2 years, he's been constantly injured with muscle tissue issues. So he's been on and off the field, but Christian Watson, I'm going to grab him as wide receiver 5. Cause I feel like when he is on the field and when he is healthy, he can be a game changer. So I'm going to take that risk in the 9th round. Anybody go? I mean, JSN, I think, is also a great pick too. If somebody wanted that in that position instead of taking the risk on Watson, but Christian Watson at the 908 for me, or 906. Got it.
Well, I got screwed again. That's okay. I'm used to it.
Oh, you can, there's a guy there that I know you love. I actually kind of left him there for you.
I have a question.
Is this
for
the
you.
Is last it, episode of All In? Is this over because you keep sniping your boy?
He might be pissed.
I'm just taking shots. Yo, is it me or is it stuck on team 9? Because that's why I
it
see
is
that.
The, it's team 7, actually.
I just
want to
make sure I'm not.
AI is rebooting right now.
Yeah, team 9 right here is not. I have it. It's paused at team 9 right now.
Well, I just paused it. Okay. And I'm trying to restart it. I'm telling you, like, there we go.
Let him. You know, he's thinking. The computer's thinking about, you know, what he wants to take.
Force a pick. I'll force a pick. There. There we go. Bitch. This is like,
what a jerk off. What is this guy doing? Come on, robot. Let's make this pick.
There you go. Caleb Williams. All
right. And then to take QB2. Oh, what a goofball.
Yeah, well, I got, well, we're going to take JSN because that was, I need a wide receiver and he is absolutely solid. So here's my dilemma because I got another long way around, but I'm taking my man now. I don't care. I'm taking Chase Brown because I want him. I left another running back out there because I know someone else is going to take who I wanted, my other one, but I can only.
I'm glad that it's not just me that's having issues with the internet or the sleeper app right now because it was paused for me on team 7. Apparently for you guys, it's paused on team 9. Both team 7 and team 9 took 2 quarterbacks, by the way. So yeah, you took Chase Brown, who actually was the one guy that I was talking about that I was like, it would be a very great value later on that I had queued up already that I was hoping would come back to me. So you sniped me. So I appreciate that.
Oh, you're still up back. A couple. I have a couple, you know, I got a couple, my shoulder is blown out. My freaking leg was taken out in the other way, so I'm limping, but it's okay. You can take one too.
But you left one for me, though. So we've talked about this too.
I did.
You know, do you know who, do you want to call it out for me? Call it out who I'm
Jerome
taking.
Jerome Ford, dude. He's
Jerome
a starter.
Jerome Ford, baby. He's a starter.
It's an absolute no-brainer. I let it go. I mean, Matty, you know, I have enough starters. You could trade. Matt, you want to trade for something later, you just call me.
We're good. Maddie, this is the problem. Everybody's talking about Nick Chubb as though he's going to be coming back and, oh, he's not healthy now, but when he comes back, the ironic thing about it is also talk about other running backs, other players who are coming off ACLs and how it takes them a year, you know, to get back into their old form. Yet, not only did Nick Chubb have an ACL, he had MCL, so he actually had double the injury issue. And yet there's this theory that, like, at some point in the season, he's going to come back and Jerome Ford's going to concede that backfield to him. I don't think that's going to happen. I think at the 10th round, I think Jerome Ford will not only be the starter for the very beginning of the season, I think he will actually dominate most of the season. And maybe towards the back end of the season, Nick Chubb will take over. But I think it's Jerome Ford's backfield until further notice. And I don't think it'll be anytime soon that he gives it up.
Boys, we're all out here losing limbs like it's Nam because I was going to go Ford. You've blown my arm off. And now,
dude, can you believe the value though that he's literally getting? I mean, like people talk about. I mean, the thought that
those
like Chubb is going to come back is like insane.
Those I mean, when the home leagues truly kick off, right, and we get the more casual, the office leagues, the family leagues, Ford's going to shoot up as early as Pollard or Ford. Yeah, 6th, 7th round. Exactly. Yep. That's where he's going to be going. Hopefully, it doesn't adjust on ESPN or Sleeper so that maybe he could be put to
draft
a little bit.
Into we draft.
Yeah, until people see. But it 4 games, he's got the runway now for those 4 games. And, you know, he may never give it back. The team, it's not, you can't argue the fact with considering the stage in which Nick Chubb is in his career. You can't tell me that Jerome Ford doesn't make this offense better than Nick Chubb can.
No, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. He showed that he can handle the workload when Chubb got hurt. So, And who did you end up picking?
I went with Romeo Doubs here, my first bench player. The ceiling's there, 8 touchdowns last year. I believe the offense. So in round 11 or round 10, I went ahead and take receiver. The running backs have been coming off the board very, very, I would say, razor sharp. Usually
team one,
in round 9.
Team 1 is
round
10, like stealing all your thunder, brother.
Even team 11, freaking whoever this City Stars person is. He's taking a bunch of green.
I was waiting for it.
He's got a good stable. You know, the stables are out there. So usually I like to start just a long running back run in round 9, round 10. But, you know, we have to pivot. The value wasn't really there. I will reach with my 11th round pick because, again, the long run. And I'm just going to take Jalen Wright. There's no bigger ceiling post round 10 than Jalen Wright in a seasonal format. If Achane goes down, Mostert goes down. We saw him run the ball efficiently in the preseason. We saw him get 4 targets, have 4 catches for 40 yards, using him out of the backfield in ways that you just dream about when it comes to fantasy purposes. Jalen Wright is that guy for me. He's been my flag plant rookie throughout the entire process, dating back to, you know, the combine, before the combine, the pro, all that. And now I've just been grabbing him everywhere I can, you know, after round 10.
Love it. Love the player. Love him in that offense. He's a bigger back, or slightly bigger back, coming out of Tennessee. Has the speed to go with it, to fit in that offense, and to fit amazingly in that offense. Like you mentioned, 2 running backs ahead of him, Devon Achane, and also Raheem Mostert, that have injury issues and concerns. Jalen Wright, if one of them goes down and he shows up like Achane did last year, will be a monster. So love that pick. I'm up on the clock, so I'm looking, and there's another guy here that I don't think Team 11, meaning Pat, would take, just because he has so many green on his team already.
But I did the opposite of what
but
Matt
why not?
Did. He has all blue. I'm like, okay, I'm going all green. And we can meet later on the you know, outside, have a beer, and we could just chat it up and make some trades.
Trade some guys.
I think we secretly drafted these teams like puzzle pieces so that we were forced to come together and wine and dine one another for trades. I think we kind of subconsciously did this on purpose.
100%. Hell yeah. So I took Rico Dabble. So I was debating between him and another guy who's still left on the board. Again, in that offense, I think he will be the RB1. The old guys won't be able to hold their limbs together long enough in order to stay relevant, and he will take over as the lead back in that offense. Pat, you're up.
I'm going to take Jerry Jeudy. I like the way he's been looking in the preseason. You know, he has a little new life over there in Cleveland, so I'm going to rock with him. We are now the 12th round. You know, it's crazy looking at this board and where they're putting everyone. My man Jermaine Burton has slowly creeped up this board more and more.
Yeah, he is, dude. Well, dude, when you start having the preseason games like he's been having, dude, like, there's no choice, dude.
And I have no choice either. So there you go. I'm just going to have to take him now because I was getting him at the 15 or 16. And now that's not possible clearly anymore because everyone's watching TV and Sleepers is slowly but surely catching up with the times.
Everybody's listening and pay attention to, you know, the news, and they're actually wising up to where he should be placed. And he will be the wide receiver 3 in that offense. And Jermaine Burton has looked amazing even as a rookie. So can't really beat you there. I am up. I'm going to take, let me look in the wide receiver room. I'm going to just take kind of a risk on a wide receiver in Carolina. He is a rookie. Profile, I'm not really 100% sold on as far as like if this is dynasty, I would not be taking him just because the bigger back or bigger wide receivers who have won your breakout usually don't allude to like the best, you know, as far as the algorithm or as far as a, you know, longevity within the NFL and actually making it. Kind of out of South Carolina, he did have a monster last year before coming out of college and going to the NFL. So I gave Xavier Leggett, I will take for a wide receiver for Carolina. That'll make my wide receiver 2, 4, 6. 6th wide receiver, and I had 4 running backs, a tight end, and a quarterback. Maddie is up.
Just going to pepper running back again. I'm going to go Ty Chandler. just an injury to Aaron Jones away from him there being a productive fantasy player. He was good last year when he was given the opportunity. He had a 20-point game late in the NFL season. So I'll take him here, and I'll just keep the running back run going. I'm going to take another one of my guys, Antonio Gibson. If something happens to Ramondre, we could see him really just be a bell cow, to be quite frank. We've seen him have double-digit touchdowns. We've seen him go over 40 catches on pretty much every year as he's been a pro. So this is my range of green. I always go deep green around 10 to 13 calling. Oh, yeah.
So question for you on Chuba Hubbard, who went right after your pick for Gibson. What's your thought on Chuba Hubbard? Because obviously Jonathan Brooks is the conversation there. Jonathan Brooks, as we talked to earlier, you know, is coming off of ACL. He's not ACL and MCL, but in college he did suffer ACL injury. Was the top prospect coming out before that injury happened. Still was drafted very high by Carolina. But in the meantime, Chuba Hubbard will be running that backfield until Jonathan Brooks can actually kind of carve his own way. And actually, he hasn't been part of the team because, again, he's still dealing with the injury and recovering. So your thoughts, Maddie, on Chuba Hubbard?
I would suggest everyone that is active in their seasonal drafts, seasonal leagues, should take Hubbard in round 13 because he's going to have value early on. You just have to be ears to the ground, listen to the drumbeat. You have to sell at the right time. Chuba Hubbard is going to, you have to be ultra careful with Chuba Hubbard this year because there's going to be a point in the season where he might be averaging 13, 14, 15 points a game and you should move him because the nuke is coming. Once Brooks is given the reins, it's the Brooks show. They moved up to get him.
We've seen
Dave Canales. Yeah, bye-bye, Hubbard. It's over. So if you're kind of more of the cash player, which is great. We all want to play in all these leagues with everybody. We want the more the merrier. But if you're more casual, where you don't like to read the pulse and be a psycho like us and listen to everything and watch all of it, I wouldn't take him.
Fair enough. So I was up at the 1306. I took Dontavian Wicks, Green Bay Packers wide receiver. So, just figured why not? We're in the 13th round. So at this point, you know, you've got Maddie hammering running backs, hammering the green. I'm hammering the blue because I love wide receivers. As long as I've got a good solid four, maybe five running backs at the most, that's all I need. The rest of them are going to be wide receivers, and that's how I'm going to fill my flex spots are always going to be or primarily going to be with wide receivers. So the more the merrier. Welcome to the squad, Wicks.
Love it. I'm going to go with this gentleman. I think he's having a beautiful role where he is now. I'm going to take Darnell Mooney.
Oh, great.
You know what I mean? He's going to fit in nice. Got a nice new toy there over there with Kirko Chains, bro. We'll see how he gets in. He's going to fit that slot in other spots, bro. They'll bounce him around. I think he's going to have a solid year. So that's like my deep sleeper, bro.
You suck, man, actually. We've talked about that before in our other podcast.
I took both your legs out. Now you're crawling, Matt. Keep going.
Yeah, I know. I didn't realize, actually, he didn't go far enough down. I didn't realize Mooney was still there. So I actually would have taken Mooney over Wicks if I'd realized that Mooney was still there. I think Darnell Mooney, personally, being a Bears fan, he's not a good number one. As a number two last year, the problem with that was, you know, you had Justin Fields, who just looked at one person, and that was DJ Moore. And by the time he looked at the second read, he started running. And that's why I believe his stock dropped. But as a rookie, as a number two wide receiver, Darnell Mooney broke 1,000 yards. So I think he's got that ability again. I think that's a huge steal in the 13th round.
And then I filed it up with some extra blue. I'm taking my boy Tyler Boyd, bro. I think he's going to actually fit in nicely in Tennessee, too. I think I'll have more of a role, bro. You know what I mean? I think he'll do well. Maybe not the best, but he'll do well. That's my opinion. That's all. Nothing crazy.
He's a sneaky good pick in seasonal drafts. If we believe or if we truly think that Will Levis takes that step with Callahan, with this offense, Tyler Boyd will be a factor in that.
Oh, yeah, honestly, Ridley's got the number one, and then like Boyd's not too far really behind. I mean, there's not really a lot going on in Tennessee at all.
And even honestly, in Cincinnati, Boyd as a number three was still, you know, gave you solid points from, you know, one week to another. You could kind of as a placeholder or as a fill spot, you could count on him to give you at least like, you know, sometimes double digits, you know, maybe 15 points here and there. But great pick 100%. In the 14th round. So I love that. I'm actually going to take somebody. I reached pretty far down on, you know, the sleeper as far as the queue or the rankings, I should say. I'm going to take Braylon Allen. So again, this is just a backup running back for the Jets, but he is the number two behind Breece Hall. I know him from being in Wisconsin. He's a bigger back, bruiser back, so they can use him multiple different ways. Also use him differently than they use Breece Hall. So I think there's ability here where it could be kind of a 1A, you know, 1B potentially with how they utilize him maybe as a goal line back. But I think Braylon Allen in the 14th round, fuck it, dude, I'll take it. You know, again, you got to take high risk, high reward. If something happens to Hall, he's going to be no doubt the running back in that team.
I'm going to keep Pepper and running back here. I'm going to go Kimani Vidal. There's options here for me. It could be Davis, Tracy. There's a bunch of rookie running backs I'm going to take in this range because what I'm looking for is are players that could take a huge jump throughout the season. Guys that could go from – yeah, because if I have to cut him, it's my 14th round pick. I'm not going to shed a tear. But if he becomes the Chargers' 45% snap share running back in this type of offense, I can use him. I can trade him. There's a lot that can go on with him. And sometimes you build this skill set in terms of turning dynasty-type trades and making them make sense in seasonal, where it's like you're taking a calendar year, but you just condense it, but you use those same patterns, and you kind of just buy low, sell high, that type of thing. We all know to do it in dynasty. But in seasonal, you can also do it. And I like to do it by taking running backs late. And then I'm going to go ahead and take my insurance policy, who I take all the time in 15, Tyler Conklin, especially if I'm going to reach on a Dalton Kincaid guy. Give me a tight end that has been consistently meh, but consistent. But now he has Aaron Rodgers. And I'm hoping he's Bob Tonyan 2.0, baby.
Yeah, hopefully, dude. They interviewed him in the last preseason game, and that dude's massive. That's all I got to say, man. A lot of people necessarily – so this is where a redraft, you know, people depends on, you know, if they're going to go defense and kicker before the end of the draft. I've seen some people that, you know, will go all positional players, and then they'll figure out, you know, they'll drop some depending on when they get closer to actual game startings and then pick up a kicker and a defense. But I'm looking at the Baltimore Ravens, probably going to be the, you know, the second defense as far as points scored. So I'm not going to risk missing out on them. I'll take a defense in the Baltimore Ravens.
Like it. I don't like their matchup week one versus Kansas City, but I do like them. I mean, that's a rough start to start your season.
I mean,
on, so. I am going to take Dallas because I'll finish out right. And then I'm going to take a nice warm leg kicker with Jason Sanders because I want to be in the warmth. I'm tired of seeing all these cold Tyler Bass kickers and everything else and snow and everything. Similar to what Maddie said, the kicker does have a big role in where he plays.
Hell yeah. And because of that, I took this last time when we did a mock draft on Elite Fantasy Nation. So I'll take Daniel Carlson for Las Vegas, who's in a dome. So he doesn't have to worry about any of that shit and weather and cold and wind. So yeah, I do take a kicker and a defense, usually the last two. I never do it earlier. And I've never walked really out of a draft without one, or I should say both of them, at least one position for each of them in my lineup, just because I don't want to risk kind of doing the hope that there's somebody there at the end to pick from off of waivers. So, Maddie, you're up with your last pick. Take us home, brother.
Well, you know, I'm true to one thing when it comes to my seasonal drafts. I ain't taking no damn kicker until the end. Don't care. I'm not taking a kicker until the end. So I'll take my kicker now, and I'm going to, again, just preach upside. Give me Jake Bates. Kicking the shit out of the football in the preseason. Has only missed from 30. Bit of a fluke. He's going to be, like I said, indoors almost every single game this year on a high-powered offense. You want this year's Brandon Aubrey? It's Jake Bates, baby.
Love it. All right, we're definitely over. We usually do about a 45-minute to a 50-minute podcast, so we'll quickly wrap up our teams. So, Maddie, kind of take us through your teams the next couple of minutes and just talk about your team in general, the whole team, and then anything note-wise that you want to refer to before we go on to Pat's team, and then we'll finish with my team.
Another mock in the books, another check mark in the side of Anchor RB, going super wide receiver heavy. I like the firepower, the output, the upside that I can chase. My team would feel a lot better if I had Pacheco at running back, and even if I had Pollard in the flex, as my running back three, I'd feel a lot sturdier. I feel like my output per week would be a little higher. But I went Lamb, London, Neighbors, Pittman, Kincaid, Najee Harris, Tony Pollard, Deontay Johnson, Jaden Daniels, Romeo Doubs, went super running back heavy over the next four, Jalen Wright, Ty Chandler, Antonio Gibson, Kimani Vidal, Tyler Conklin, and Jake Bates. This is the this is a build that I do kind of chase. I want the high upside receiver. You know, I want that player that could push, you know, 2-1 warp, wins over replacement and seasonal, the true difference makers. And now with Lamb, of course, signing, I can rest easy. It made my decision tonight a lot easier. So shout out CeeDee Lamb. Shout out Jerry Jones.
Love it. So, Pat, going to your team and kind of just like I think Maddie kind of alluded to, like anything that you would have done differently or just kind of thoughts overall, and then take us through your team pick by pick and we'll go to mine.
Well, I went the opposite of Maddie. He went wide receiver. I went beyond running back crazy. So,
you did.
I really did. I don't usually do this, but I was like,
I was going to say, it's unique. We've done a lot of mock drafts. I've never seen you do this heavy running backs.
I'll tell you this, though. I mean, they're all solid, though. It's just value. Where it was falling. And I'm like, like I told you, I will take value and figure it out later, you know? Like, I'll shoot first, ask questions later type of deal, and then whatever it is. But Garrett Wilson, Kyron Williams, Jalen Hurts, I didn't have to take. I'm not a huge fan of him. That's probably where I would maybe, you know, could have, you know, went like a Debo or, you know, Debo's gone already, but I could have done like a Waddle more or Evans and more type of deal. That would probably be where I would have switched and got my quarterback a little bit later. But Hurts, Moore, Aaron Jones, Swift, White, the Joku, JSN, Chase Brown, Jerry Jeudy, Jermaine Burton, my man. I think Mooney and Boyd are like my super value at like 13, 14. Like, I love the way that looks at the end. I mean, just some steady guys to have, man. They're going to be nice on bye weeks and whatever. And they could take off at any time. And then the Cowboys defense is going to be absolutely out of its mind, like usual, hopefully. And then they fall in the playoffs before they make the playoffs. And then Sanders, nice warm leg kicker.
Love it.
That's all.
Love it. All right. I'll take a start team before wrapping it up. So, or my team before wrapping it up. So, first pick. Probably in hindsight would have taken Chase, but neither here nor there. So Chase, so I did a very balanced team, which I usually, and I started very heavy wide receivers, but then some of Maddie's kind of like follow up at the end. I started hammering a little bit more on the running backs. Usually one of my builds is like, if I take a QB early, I usually take one or the other between QB and tight end. I usually won't take both. You could argue whether or not both within the first seven rounds is early or not. That's kind of up for discussion, but so start out with Amon-Ra St. Brown instead of Chase. If I were to flip it, I'd be happier. Derrick Henry, Stephon Diggs, then CJ Stroud. Wanted the pairing between the two of them. And actually, when I took Diggs, that was the intent that I had. I was hoping Stroud would make it back to me. So then third wide receiver is T. Higgins. Rashee Rice is my fourth wide receiver. Brock Bowers is my tight end one. Javonte Williams, Christian Watson, Jerome Ford, Dwaddle, I should say, Xavier Leggett. Then Dontavian Wicks, followed by Braylon Allen as a high upside running back in case Breece Hall goes down in the 14th round. I think that's worth it. And then I rounded it up with my D as the Ravens. And then my kicker, indoor kicker, who has a nice solid leg, Carlson, who usually produces year after year. So I took him as my kicker. So yeah, man, good mock draft. It's also different having somebody else who Pat and I usually mock quite a bit, Maddie. So we usually kind of know each other's tendencies, so it's good to have somebody else in there in the mix and kind of throw a curveball here and there. So appreciate you coming on, man. So what do you got to say before we close it out?
Well, first and foremost, it was awesome to hop on the show. It was awesome to mock. You're acting like I'm some stranger. We've literally mocked.
I know, dude.
In the same room. Yeah. We've shared beers.
Live draft, baby.
We've hung out for 4 days straight.
We hung out for four days straight.
We're not strangers together. We're all in the South Hammond family.
Two drafts. In the same building.
We've done three. We've done three.
And then the staff league, that's like, that doesn't count as live. That's not a live draft. We did
two. No, not live. You're correct.
Other drafts together. The three of us, we're in three total drafts, right, together?
Yeah, like, we are.
We're four. But
fair enough, so Maddie. Fair enough, Maddie.
It's like I'm family, but.
But for this space, for this space, this is a new guy in our sphere. So love having you on, man. So appreciate you taking the time, dude. As soon as we left there, we're like, Maddie's the dude. We got to get Maddie on and have him on this podcast. This will be our first guest in All In. So I appreciate you taking the time, my brother. So tell, is there anything else you want to feed? You kind of, you did a great job, man, talking about South Harmon content and what you're pumping out. Before we give it to Pat to kind of give his final words, anything else that you want to plug as far as your stuff or just other stuff that you know that's coming out within South Harmon?
Yeah, basically, head over to southharmonff.com. Get the Warp Tool. We got a flash sale going on, 50% off a lot that we're offering. And get in the Patreon, hit patreon.com/southharmon.
Got to be in the Patreon. Discord. You can interact with all of us.
So much fun. It's the best community. We're in there all the time. It's so much fun just talking shit, getting going. So yeah, get over to South Harmon FF for that. If you're hitting Manscaped, you know, we got a promo code over there for that. So there's just a lot going on, boys.
Tons of shit.
A good time of year. It's a fun time of the year. But so head over to, you know, southharmonff.com and South Harmon FF on YouTube.
All that. Pat, what do you got to say, man?
Yo, Mike, I'll take a lawnmower, bro. Whatever you got, send it over our way, bro. We, you know, whatever you got.
You got to use the code, bro. You got to use the code.
Yeah, I got the code, bro.
It's in Discord.
Promo code, man. We all get it.
I will say, too, I'm very excited to be able to work with you guys all year. You know, we'll be doing Start Shit Sit shows every so often together.
We'll have a
game plan. It'll be a blast. I'm very excited for this.
Yeah, the first one.
Week one, me and you, Manny.
Kick it off. Yeah.
Yes.
Go, baby.
You're going to see these two gentlemen live on television. You can ask them all the questions you want. You can talk shit, do whatever you want to do. Ask them start sit questions. I know Pat's stoked about that.
Talk shit, man. Don't throw us under the bus here. Don't be throwing the clowns at us. We'll answer your damn lineup questions.
You gotta come on. It's South Harmon, man. You gotta talk shit, South Harmon. Shit school. Let's go.
Well, we know who's going to be in there. Matt will be in there talking shit to us. Like, thanks, Matt. We know someone can solidify that.
I'll be asking the funky, weird questions. But yeah, I can't wait to see the two of you. Pat's about to destroy his monitor and shake this whole entire room.
Dude. Earthquakes over here. No, I'm excited, Matt. I appreciate, you know, the opportunity to work with you on that first week, man. After speaking to you, I think it's going to be great. I love when everyone in South Harmon collabs, bro. Mikey, McNutted, come back. Adam, we got to get in touch with you, bro. There's a lot. Anyone. I want, you know, why not?
We got to fizzle on an all-in. We got to
together, bro. Let's go, bro.
Fizzle on all-in. Yeah, hell yeah. Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Listen, we are the Avengers of the fantasy world, bro. You put us together, we're unstoppable. That's what I can tell you.
You stick us in a shit school for 4 days, and we come out brothers. So all one family. So South Harmon family, again, as Maddie said, so definitely follow South Harmon FF. And definitely check out everything they've got at the southharmon.com or southharmonff.com. And there's promo codes for the lawnmower and for Manscaped and everything else. So we've got a lot of great stuff that we've got bringing out. So Maddie does a great podcast as well and great episodes. So check out his stuff. And until next time, peace. We're out.